You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
There's something that God wants from us, and we're not giving it. Our battles have been against the devil, especially in Pentecostal circles. We have demonized everything. And on two occasions, Paul teaches us that we should be aware of the devices of the devil. What does he use to get the better of us? What has he done to impact our lives? We're looking for screaming devils when, according to Paul's writings to the church at Corinth, we're going to be looking at confused minds. When he talks about the weapons of our warfare, when he talks about the pulling down of strongholds, he immediately goes into thought processes. So it would appear that our enemy is not external, but our enemy is our inability to reason and to think cognitively. That means to make sense out of it. Week after week, we are exposed to the Word of God. Week after week, we're exposed to the Word of God. And we find ourselves unable to apply it to our daily lives. Why? I have a passion that continues to rise up in me. I cannot escape it, though I try vigorously. The Word of the Lord is not just a book to me. It makes sense. We lose focus on purpose. We lose our focus on our purpose. There is a tremendous move going on in the church because of our desire to commingle with the world. We are losing our identity. Very subtly, Christ is being pushed into a subordinate role rather than Lord. It's being done very clandestinely. It's you can't even notice it. It's like growing in the physical. One moment, you're 3 foot two. The next moment, you are a little bigger, taller. And you don't even notice that you're growing. The only result that you're growing is that your trousers or your clothes become shorter. There was a situation that came about in the area of cooking. And a man who liked frogs wanted to cook some frogs. So he grabbed the frogs and he boiled the water and he threw the frog in the boiling water. As soon as the frog entered the boiling water, it jumped right out. The man was frustrated and decided, I have to come up with a new way to cook these frogs. So what he did was he lowered the temperature of the water so that the frog would not jump out when being introduced to the water. He put the frogs in the water. The frogs swam around in the water while he turned the temperature up. Ever so slowly, the frog didn't even know he was being cooked. By the time he realized it, he was soup. You and I are in that same position. Satan knows he cannot take our position from God because the position was established before the foundation of the world. That information is not given to us for us to become arrogant, nor lackadaisical with our salvation, nor live a slipshod Christian life. We do not become arrogant and boastful, saying that one cannot lose their position as sons of God. And I include females in the sons. But it was designed to give you comfort so that you will know that you will never lose that position. There were times when my brother and I would have the normal sibling rivalry that exists between brothers and sisters. And he would go and become angry with me and not talk to me. And one time this happened several years ago, and I texted him and I said, "I don't care how angry you are, you're still my brother because of DNA. And in time, this will blow over because the relationship is stronger." Once you become a child of God, no matter what you do, you belong to God. You can never lose that relationship. Now, your fellowship, as in the case of my brother and I, our fellowship was not warm. But we share DNA, which means we're always going to be related. Now, you are always God's child if you're born again today. No matter what you do, you might be God's cigarette-sucking child. You might be God's liquor-drinking child. You may be God's marijuana-smoking child, but you're his child if you are born again. Being born again does not remove bad habits. Being born again means I have the power to identify them and make the necessary changes. According to Ephesians chapter 4, God gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, and pastor teachers so that we may learn the principles to live godly lives. We would rather, it appears that we would rather be entertained and amused rather than learn how to live this new life. We are pulled in to a lifestyle that is contrary to God's kingdom, because it is easier to succumb to the world than to separate ourselves for God. It is my mission. I was talking to a man Friday, and he made mention of something new. And I said to him, "There's nothing new under the sun. What is, was, what was, will be again." I said, "But life is a series of seasonal and cyclical developments." That's all it is. It is a series of repetitious actions, words, people. If you look in your life, you will see that the people that are in your life can be connected to the people who used to be in your life, because it's all the same. You will find that you will commit the same acts of ignorance. You'll just do them differently when you get older. God said there's nothing new under the sun. Everything is seasonal. So it behooves us to discover what season are we in. Life is compartmentalized into seasonal developments. From birth to five, that is the time, the season of character construction. Why? Because you can't build, you can't bend a tree when it's grown. So you parents, stop trying to raise your adult children. You're stressing yourself out. If they're idiots now at 21, they're idiots. You can't do anything about it. The only person who can change a person is God. That's it. You're running around here trying to get your 30-year-old child to do better. You driving yourself crazy there on a cruise boat going down to Nassau. You had 5 years, in some instances seven. But basically it's 5 years to bend that tree. By the time they reach the age of 7, 8, 9, they become exposed to the culture, and at that point, you now have competition for your words and your standards. When you had them at home from 0 to 5, they swore by everything you said. My daddy said, my mama said, my daddy said, my mama said. But as soon as they start going into the world, they come home and use words that they never heard you speak. And you raise them up in church, and they still hear those four-letter words and migrate towards them with rapidity, quickness. Why? Because the heart is desperately wicked. Even the heart of your cute little 8-year-old is desperately wicked. Now, once they get past that, they enter into the years of adolescence. And why is adolescence important? Because those are the years when their little hormones start jumping. Hormones and brains don't work together. There are many hormonal marriages. They don't last because eventually you're going to start thinking. And then you're going to look and say, why did I do that? Hormonal marriages take place between the years of 17 to 25. Most good psychologists will tell you that you should not get married till you're about 27. By then, your brain has fully functioned, and your we call it the CEO, the chief executive officer, your frontal cortex, where decisions are made, has become mature. You're no longer vacillating between he turns me on, she turns me on. You are now saying they have a job, they don't live with their mother, she knows how to cook, she don't talk back. You know, all of those things now jump to the front of your mind. No matter how good her legs are, her bottom, her breasts, all of those things are no longer part of the equation. They're the X in the algebraic equation. What's the X? It's unknown and it changes. Body shapes are variables. They don't stay constant. But when you are driven by passion and emotion, you go by what you see. Just go with me. Once you get through, if you survive adolescence, you enter into preteen. Now, preteen is the hardest time of your life because you're trying to discover your identity, your purpose. You start questioning if this is your mama and daddy. And in some cases, your parents will say, you ain't my child. Amen. There were times when I would exasperate my mother, and she would say, I swear they gave me the wrong child because none of my other children act like you. And I would joke with her later when time moved forward. And I said, you remember you used to say that? She said, yeah, boy, because you used to get on my nerves. I said, yeah, but none of your other children are pastoring. I said, so I had to take you through that. That was your cross. And so during those teen years, that's when you begin to challenge authority. Don't have a dime, a pot, or a window. And you tell your parents, I ain't going to do what you tell me to do. Because during your teenage years, you are an idiot. You don't count the cost. You drive cars without seatbelts. You speed down 25-mile-an-hour freeways, and you're doing 75 because you think you're invincible. You cross the street in the middle against the light, dare them to hit you by walking slowly because you know you're going to heal faster. And if you can survive, that's why the military wants you around 17 or 18, because you don't think. No 35-year-old man is going to charge a machine gun nest. You look at a 35-year-old man and say, all right, take that hill. He says, excuse me, you better call in an airstrike. An 18-year-old grab that weapon and run towards that hill. Yeah, because they're not fully functional. But most of our major decisions are made around that time because of the shadow of adulthood. And I say shadow because a shadow is the result of light hitting an object and it leaves a shadow. The light of adulthood hits your imagination and you get the shadow that I'm ready to be an adult. No, you're not. If you can make it through teenage years, you're blessed. And if your parents survive it, they'll have gray hair. That's why you should never dye your hair. If you raise teenagers, wear that gray hair with honor. Stand up and let it flow. Let it flow. You look good. You earn that hair. Sleepless nights, doctor visits, wanting to choke them but can't. Wanting to beat one, to take one and beat the other, but can't do it. Going to bed frustrated, can't have any connection with your spouse because you're worrying about your kids. Your kids are busting up your marriage. Your teenagers are taking all your money, don't have a job, but dress better than you. Take your car and run it down to E and bring it back to you. And act like you did them a favor. If you survive that, that's why you get filled with the Holy Ghost and talk in an unknown tongue. If you didn't know it, you were talking in an unknown tongue long before the Holy Ghost because you said words. And the Lord's going, go ahead. You're like, boy, girl. You become a discoverer. You're an adventurer. You've discovered a new place called Kingdom Come. You promise I'll knock you to Kingdom Come. Child said, where's that? I don't see it on the map. I'll knock you into Kingdom Come. You become aware of your creative abilities. I brought you into this world, and I'll take you out. And don't matter to me none. I'll make another one just like you. Frustration. Then all of a sudden, like magic, they enter into their 20s. I don't know, there's some revelation when they cross 21. There's a word that just springs out of their mouths. I'm an adult, but you live at home. I'm an adult, but you don't pay a bill. Your parents are still bailing you out of jail. You're an adult. Then somehow, by the grace of God, you make it to your 30s. All of a sudden, you're halfway through your life. 70 is 70. You're 35. You're 50% gone. You are technically middle age. And he said, if by reason of strength, I'll give you another 10 years if you took care of your body. I abused my body as a teenager. Beat my body bloody. Punished my brain. Do you know your brain begins to feed on itself if you don't get 6 to 8 hours of sleep? If you do not release the amount of serotonin and melatonin in your brain, your body begins to exhibit characteristics of schizophrenia, and all you need is a good night's sleep. I didn't sleep when I was a teenager. What was that? Some of you the same way. I can look in your eyes. That's why you sleep in church. You didn't sleep when you were young. I can't wait to go to church. I'm tired. I'm 15 minutes in, you praise the Lord. Glory. But if you should make it to 35, you undergo a renaissance. Things that once appealed to you don't appeal to you anymore. People that you used to associate with, you no longer do. You have literally outgrown certain behaviors. Things that used to turn you on and make you desirous no longer have that impact. You walk past new clothes, new jewelry, and you look at it and say, oh, that's nice, but keep right on going. When you were younger, you worked to get the money. But when you cross the river 40, you're thinking about pension. You start checking your Social Security thing. They sent me that thing in the mail last week. I checked that bad boy. I started counting down. I said, I got pension from my job, Social Security, and all the business I'm going to have on the side, counseling neurotic people. I said, I'm going to be all right. I never thought about that when I was 18. You're thinking differently. When you were 18, you jumped into bed with reckless abandon. Yeah! Now you crawl in and make 37 sounds. Mm. Woo! Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Ha! Glory! Woo!
We pray that you are blessed and encouraged by the message you heard today. To order today's message in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. When ordering, refer to the program title, The Purpose of the Church, or the program number 03419A. If you'd like to download today's message or any other recent sermons from Bishop Lambert, visit ericlambertministries.com for the complete digital download. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be viewed weekly on the Word Network Monday evening at 7:30 p.m. The Word Network is available on Fios Channel 292. You can also view featured sermons on the Bethel Deliverance International Church YouTube channel. For service times, location, and more information about Bishop Lambert and Bethel Deliverance International Church, follow us on social media through Facebook and Instagram, or contact us at 215-885-2585. Thank you for tuning in today. Keep climbing higher in the Word of God.
The Bethel Deliverance International Fellowship of Churches invites all women to Women's Conference 2019. Daughters of the King, wear your crown, Friday, May 17th and Saturday, May 18th. Come and join us for 2 days of praise, worship, and life-empowering workshops from dynamic speakers. Joining us on Friday evening at 7 o'clock p.m. will be Evangelist Joyce L. Rogers, founder of Primary Purpose Ministries Incorporated of Carlton, Texas. On Saturday, beginning at 8:30 a.m., there will be a special panel discussion featuring the women's pastors of Bethel Deliverance International Fellowship of Churches. The mid-morning and afternoon sessions will be facilitated by guest presenter, Pastor Latera Ruffin from the Life Empowerment Church of Moreno Valley, California. All sessions will be held in the sanctuary of Bethel Deliverance International Church, located at 2929 West Sheltenham Avenue in Winco, Pennsylvania. The deadline to register is Friday, May 3rd. Registration is available online at BethelDeliverance.org. For more information, call 215-885-2585. That's 215-885-2585. Ladies, don't miss this uplifting time of praise, worship, and life-transforming teaching from anointed women of God, Friday, May 17th and Saturday, May 18th. Plan to join us and register today.
All are invited to our annual Senior Life Expo, happening Saturday, April 27th, from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. here at Bethel Deliverance International Church. Seniors, come out and enjoy continental breakfast, lunch, morning stretch and workout, songs of joy and life, short skits, a senior choir, a senior craft table, fashion show, a health segment taught by our registered nurse, and much, much more. You don't want to miss this event. The address is 2923 West Sheltenham Avenue, Winco, Pennsylvania, 19095. We hope to see all seniors there.